Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, noparish.com, John 424 Radio. How's your day going? Hey, I want to talk to you about judging fruit, not hearts. Judging fruit, not hearts. Many of the teachings that I do come from experiences, questions, happenings that come from daily ministry as I'm trying to help disciple people, helping them in the truth of God's Word. Today, I want to talk about an age-old common thing. It's a saying about some people that are living in their sin, false ways, worldliness. And it sounds really good, but it lacks biblical truth, and I want to share it with you so you're aware of it. Today I was trying to help a young man out of man-made churchianity. He keeps coming in and out of the idea that it's false, then he thinks it's okay, then it's false and sinful, then he thinks it's okay. And I was warning him about their ongoing sin, their false traditions, and he said this as he was leaning towards them and decided to go back to them. Well, I don't know their heart for God. Maybe it's good. Maybe they have a good heart for God. We can't know their heart, he said. It's also reminded me about in my own family, my mother for many years, I have an older brother that is into drunkenness, fighting, rowdiness, worldliness, God-hating. And she would say, well, we don't know your brother's heart. She said that all the time. So this is a man-made platitude, man-made philosophy and idea. Does it hold up to the Word of God? We're going to test this out. We are definitely called, speaking to believers here, to judge ourselves, and we're to judge the body. And we're going to talk about that. And this is how we avoid sin, false ways, false traditions, heresy. We don't judge people's hearts. False man-made ideas like this seem to say that a person can do all kinds of willful, ongoing, daily rebellion, crime, sin, hate, wickedness, whatever it is, lies, but maybe their heart is still right, you know, and oftentimes they'll say maybe they really love God. This wrong man-made idea alludes to the fact that our actions are void of showing us what's in our heart, or showing everyone else what's in our heart. That our actions are void of showing what is in our hearts. Now, we're not talking about one mistake or one issue or one sin. We're talking about a pattern of ongoing sin, issues, lies, crime, whatever you want to talk about. Again, mostly focused towards people that claim to be believers. Does God's Word teach that our heart and our actions are not connected? No, it doesn't, and I'm going to prove it to you. Let's talk about the heart in the Word of God. So the Word of God uses the word heart about 850 times, over 850 times, so it's used a lot. And this is important. It's the core of a human, right? The heart. Amen? We're going to explore the idea of a good heart with a lot of bad actions. Is that even possible? Let's talk about this. Imagine getting caught for all kinds of crimes that you are guilty of. They got you on video. And you're in the courtroom and the judge says, what do you have to say for yourself? And you confess. You say, yeah, I did them all, Your Honor. But you know, you just don't know my heart. Any righteous judge is going to say, well, you're right. I can't know your heart. But I'm here to judge your deeds to the law, guilty as charged, and you're going to get sentenced. The heart is immaterial. The deeds have been shown out. God's Word tells us much on this, and if we would just seek it, it would be revealed to us rather than following man-made philosophies, Colossians 2:8. First, a man's heart, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So what this is showing us is that man is in a fallen condition. Yep, we are affected by the sin of Adam and Eve. We're not helpless. We can choose right. Total depravity is a lie. But we are affected, and our flesh does lead us around if we don't will and war against it. Right? Praise God, when we come to Christ via the gospel, we get a new heart, right? New heart, new mind by the Spirit of God. So it is true that it's not our place to try and judge a person's heart, as we can't know it. That's true. When people say you don't know their heart, it's absolutely true. We can't know a person's heart, but we're not told to judge their heart, right? Who can judge the heart? Well, that's God alone. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So God sees everything. God knows the heart, the mind, the thoughts. But that's not our issue, right? That's not our focus. This does not mean that we saints, those who claim Christ, are void of being able to rightly judge matters, ourselves, other believers, not just hearts, to avoid sin, sinful people, sinful situations, heresy, all those false ways. The words of Jesus tell us a lot about this man-made false philosophy that, oh, people do all kinds of wrong things, but you don't know their heart. Let me read to you Luke 6:45. Jesus says this, a good man out of the good treasure in his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth does speak. Wow, that says volumes. Christ is telling us that the fruit of a person's life will tell us what's in their heart. We can't see in it immediately, but it will over time tell us, right? We can't look in the heart. We're just humans. God can. But over time, we can see the fruit. You know, when we had a homestead in Wisconsin, we had apple trees. And, you know, I can't see inside the apple tree. I don't know what's going on in there. I can assume. I can wonder. But you know what? In season, I could tell its fruit and judge its plenty or its lack of it. Amen? So I judge by its fruit, not by looking in its heart. This is also backed up by Jesus and made even more critical in John 15, verses 4 through 6. He says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch you can't bear fruit of itself, except you abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. And I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Not a little, much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. So you don't produce fruit out of your heart, you're going to be cast away. Very, very clear. Our actions, our works, and our fruit show what's in our heart. It even shows our faith. How do we know that? James 2, 22 through 24. Seest thou how faith wrought with this works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. See ye then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So you get a lot of people say, I believe in God, I have faith in God, but their works are terrible, sinful, worldly, carnal, wicked. That's not going to stand, all right? God's word does not teach us that. It teaches us that our heart is going to produce fruit. One way or another, lack of it, it's going to show and bear it out over time. Now, let me give you some examples here. All these are people that know about their faults, they're aware of them, and their ongoing issues. Ready? We're not talking about just a one-time slip-up or mistake here. Let's talk about some examples. A man spends all his time working at his career, very little with his wife and family. Over time, he sees it's an issue. He never strives to change it. It's clear by his fruit. He loves his work more than he loves his family in his heart. Yep. How about if a man curses all the time, talks like a sailor, and he never strives to repent, doesn't try to clean it up? The vileness that's in his heart is coming from his heart. It's not coming from his lips, really, per Jesus, is it? No. No, it's not. How about if a man says he loves his wife, but he cheats on her willingly? Adultery is in that man's heart, and his fruit has been shown, is it not? How about a worker that's absent without good cause for many, many days, and they never try to change it? we know that laziness, tardiness, sluggardness is in that person's heart. We see the fruit of it, right? How about a worker that's caught stealing from his boss over and over, but he says to the boss when caught, "Oh, you just don't know my heart, boss. You don't know my heart as I'm stealing from you willfully over and over." Yeah, all good examples, right? And not many people would argue with those points. They'd say, "Ah, yeah, that's true. What they're doing is coming from inside them." Well, let's switch it over to talk more about believers and our hearts towards God, shall we? People are always telling me worldly, churchianity, false, carnal, feminized, paganized believers are always telling me, well, they love God, but they don't want to obey his word because it costs too much, it's too hard, all kinds of examples. Question, do they really love God based upon their fruit? We'll get to how we love God here in a minute. So back to the man who said his pupils, churchianity people, may love God. If a believing person says they love God in their heart, but they do not, led by the Spirit, study to obey the word, to keep God's word instead of keeping all times of false, sinful, man-made traditions, and they continue in their pagan ways, their worldliness, their pride, their vanity, often and willfully, like churchianity does today, like people that claim a faith that's outside of the word of God, do they really love God according to their fruit? What did Jesus say? Judge a tree by its fruit, right? The answer is no. They love what they obey, either Sunday church or their own made-up ways. And Jesus said, you can't have two masters. You're going to love one and you will hate the other. So getting to this point, this is key here. How do we know we love God? Because a lot of this is about people saying, well, they might love God. They're just not obeying or they're not living it out. They might love God. 1 John 5:3, one of my favorite verses. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So if you love God, you should be striving to keep his commandments, not sinning onward, not keeping false traditions, not being worldly, not following false teachers and false doctrine. We don't love God by the state of our heart, feelings, just saying we love God, any more than we love a spouse just by feelings, right? No, we're faithful to them daily, look after them, we care for them. It's fruit on the outside that we love them on the inside. You see my point? Jesus made it clear in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. To all these people that say they love God, why aren't they keeping the commandments of God? Could it be their heart and their fruit doesn't line up? Actually, it does. Their heart and their fruit's going to line up. Either they're going to be holy, godly, and obedient, or they're going to be sinful, worldly, carnal, into false doctrines. Their fruit will be made known. This is very clear. If you have love in your heart for God, by the Spirit of God and the gospel, you're born of him, you desire to obey him, period. That's it. We see that in God's word all over. Everybody that loved God and was born of his Spirit, they obeyed him. No excuse for sin, no allowance for sin. Yes, forgiveness for sin, if we confess it. But you can't live in willful sin. You can't claim to have a heart for God as you keep false ways, be worldly. No, it doesn't work that way. So if you know those people, those claimed believers, that say they love God, but they're not in the Word, they're not studying, they make excuses to not obey, they find ways out of covering their heads, dressing biblical, coming out of pagan holidays, they find ways out of still loving the things of the world, sports, entertainment, movies. They still find ways to make their favorite false teachers, Calvinists, false gospels popular. One of two things. They're either not born of God at all, or they're rebellious against the Spirit. And either way, they're going to perish. So you need to call them to repentance. That's so true. We can't concern ourselves with seeing in another person's heart. That's God's job. We already covered that. We are told in Scripture to examine and judge ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says that. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Peter said, judgment begins in the house of God. Amen. So we're told we are to judge ourselves, and we're told we're supposed to judge the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:11 through 13. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, idolater, a railer, a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such one do not eat. For what have I to do with to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from yourselves that wicked person. So Paul is saying, we don't judge the world, all right? We judge the body and ourselves, known believers, claimed believers, and we hold them to God's standard. That makes sense, doesn't it? It makes perfect sense if you ponder this all out. Now, we can know how to judge rightly by being fruit inspectors. That's what this teaching is all about. First, we judge our own fruit, and then we can judge others in the body claiming Christ, their fruit. Go read Matthew 7. Jesus said, get the plank out of your eye, then you can help your brother with your splinter. You don't want to be a hypocrite, but you do want to be a fruit inspector, both your own and the bodies. Now, to the world, to the unbelieving, or to the people who don't claim Christ, we don't judge their fruit. We don't judge them at all. We preach the gospel to them and call them to repentance and new life. Right? That makes sense, doesn't it? So the people claim Christ, we hold them to the word of God. The people in the world, we tell them about Christ till they come to Christ and repent. A lot of people have that backwards. It's such a basic thing, but they have that all backwards. For ourselves and for claimed believers, we are to judge fruit, not hearts. Do not be deceived by this idea I'm talking about. It's so common. People believing they can be sinful, worldly, false doctrine, carnal, pagan holidays, feminized, enjoy all the things of the world. But I still believe in Jesus and my heart's good for him. Oh no, that will not work. Some will say, I've heard this so many times, some will say, well, maybe the people in churchianity or the people you're talking about, maybe they don't know, and if they knew, they'd obey. Well, let me give testimony. I've been doing this for years, and I can report out of the hundreds, many hundreds of modern pastors, I have given the truth to myself on the phone, in person, via email. Not one do I know of that has repented to come to the truth. They get a paycheck. They're doing it for the favor of man. They love the world, feminization, pagan holidays, pride and vanity, false gospels. Not one do I know that has repented and come to the truth. And out of the thousands of churchianity goers, we stand out at religious buildings, we go to musical events that are so-called Christian. I know a small handful of saints that came to themselves and repented and stopped doing willful, ongoing sin. Only a small handful. Are you surprised by that? Well, Jesus said there's going to be few. I have articles on that. Look up don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. Look up my articles on few. It will amaze you how few is few. But Paul warned about in the last days, men will be lovers of self more than lovers of God. We see that all over America. We see it all over the globe. Yeah, we're living in those last days. Long story short for this teaching, there's no support for this idea that the heart is separate from actions or separate from fruit in God's holy word. No, it's a false way made up by Satan and man designed to scratch itchy ears, make you feel good about yourself. Long as you think your heart's okay, your fruit doesn't have to be okay. That's a lie, but it's going to lead to their demise and to the wrath of God. I want to leave you with one last verse, Psalm 15:2. He that walketh upright and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. The heart of man is really important. It can be deceitfully wicked if we allow it to. It can also be made new, can walk in victory, joy, peace, love, mercy, grace, holiness, and obedience, if led by the Spirit and the Word of God. What are you following? You following your heart? No, that's going to lead you astray. Or are you following the Word of God? Don't follow man-made churchianity. Don't follow the culture. Don't follow all these false teachers all over the place. Follow the Word of God and only take your teaching from holy, true, biblical, obedient men that are teaching the biblical gospel, sound doctrine. They've come out of the world. They're not worldly and carnal. They're not selling the things of God. And they'll give you their time and love on you to disciple you. That's the only men you should be taking teaching from. Everyone else, reject them and focus on the Word of God. Only God sees inside the heart. to be clear, we all see each other's fruit, don't we? Yeah. So let all of us saints that claim his name walk in holiness, obedience, sound doctrine, honoring the Lord in all our ways, not in sin, worldliness, carnality, feminization. In this, we glorify our Father in heaven. Here's a sobering thought. One day, we're going to be in God's court, and like that righteous judge, he will not let sin and rebellion and lack of fruit or rotten fruit go unpunished. If you fail to come by faith in Christ's finished work, his death, burial, and resurrection, to repent of all your sin willfully and leave it, put it under the blood every time you fall, be cleansed, be made new, turn from it, pluck it out, rip it out, change your doctrine, change who you associate with, change the gospel you preach, change how you talk, how you dress, how you act, who you associate with, how you spend your money, what holidays you practice. Yeah. Be made new by the gospel and obey in holiness and endure in your faith. That's the gospel. If you don't come by that, you will be judged and sent into outer darkness as the fruit. That's going to be the fruit of your life. You're going to be judged and sent to outer darkness. And it shows that you did not have a heart for God. You chose to willfully go against him. When you had his word, you had his ways. The Spirit was convicting you. Don't let that happen to you. Don't fall prey to this false mindset that people can have a good heart for God while they sin and live in worldliness, carnality, and wicked ways. It's a lie. Repent and obey the gospel to the saving of your soul. And we're here to help you all we can. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. Pouring out every day. Taking some time on the homestead right now. Getting ready to go out and hit the gospel road again as we fight against these false ideas that your heart is good while your fruit is rotten. That is not what God's word says. Hey, thanks for joining me. We love you all. Let me know I can help you in the faith. Strive on, repent, and obey the gospel. Examine your fruit to see if it truly is wrought in God. Till next time, may God be praised.